The future of work isn't at work at all. It's everywhere. So get the power of the nation's largest gig speed network with Comcast Business. It can deliver gig speeds to the most businesses so you can do more than bounce back. You can bounce forward. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
This is your tech news briefing for Wednesday, March 10th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. When you think of the major global players in tech, you probably think of countries like the United States or China. But now, the European Union wants to get in the game. It's pledging more than $150 billion toward bolstering its technological independence. On today's show, our tech reporter Stu Wu will join us to explain why this push is coming now and what's at stake. That's after these headlines. Tech stocks rebounded yesterday, just a day after sliding into correction territory. The tech-heavy Nasdaq closed up 3.7%, its biggest gains of the year. Here's our reporter Michael Wursthorn with more.
Investors appear to be bargain hunting, pouncing on stocks that have been beaten down over the last several weeks. Shares of Tesla, Square, Roku all notched significant gains, while heavyweights in the tech sector like Apple, Amazon, and Facebook also rose. At the same time, a sell-off in government bonds appeared to ease, taking some of the pressure off stocks. But investors say this isn't an all-clear sign yet for the volatility. In fact, some are bracing for more as issues like inflation remain unsettled.
T-Mobile says it'll automatically enroll its phone customers in a targeted advertising program informed by their online activity. A spokeswoman said the changes will help serve users ads that align with their interests. The move comes as several big tech companies have recently gone in the opposite direction on user data. Google said last week that it would stop selling ads based on individuals' browsing histories. And Apple is introducing strict new privacy protections that will require apps to get permission from users before collecting their data. All right, coming up, the European Union is committing billions of dollars to bolster its tech industry. But to compete with other global players, it'll face some pretty big hurdles. We'll have more on that after break.
The future of work isn't at work at all. It's everywhere. So get the power of the nation's largest gig speed network with Comcast Business. It can deliver gig speeds to the most businesses so you can do more than bounce back. You can bounce forward. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Like many other governments, the European Union passed a massive coronavirus recovery package, setting aside trillions of dollars to get the economy back up and running on the other side of the pandemic. But also included in what is ostensibly a COVID relief plan is a more than $150 billion pledge to bolster the EU's technological independence. One of the plan's big goals is for Europe to make up about 20% of global chip sales by 2030, which would be double their current market share. It's all part of the bloc's broader ambition of catching up to countries like the U.S. and China when it comes to technology. For more on this, we turn to our reporter, Stu Wu. Hey, Stu, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Okay, so why is the EU making this pledge now? What's been going on in the tech sector that Europe feels it needs to address?
One of the things that the pandemic really showed was how dependent European technology is on other parts of the world, especially for things like computer chips. So there's a global chip shortage right now. And one of the reasons is that there's been an unexpected surge for things that require computer chips. So we're talking about laptops and tablets and smartphones for people who are doing remote work and remote schooling. But another thing that you might not think about as requiring a lot of chips are cars. Cars now require dozens of chips for things like controlling the engine, transmission, backup cameras, infotainment systems, stuff like that. And Europe has a huge car industry. We're thinking companies like Mercedes and BMW and Volkswagen. And some of these companies had to have to cut production and even furlough workers, idle factories because they couldn't build the cars because there aren't enough chips going around in this world. So the idea behind this is to have the European semiconductor companies have a greater presence in the world so that these car companies don't have to go to places like the United States and Asia to buy chips.
Right. And I think when we think of the major global players in tech, we think of the US, we think of China and others. We don't necessarily think of the EU's tech scene. So what does the industry look like there now? And how likely is this push to work?
As far as semiconductors are concerned, the U.S. and Asia really dominate the sector. So you think of big companies like Intel and Samsung, TSMC, they're either in the U.S. or Asia. So Europe's trying to play catch up right now. So Europe does have a couple of big semiconductor companies like NXP and ASML in the Netherlands, Infineon in Germany. But they are sort of in niches of the semiconductor industry. They focus on things like making the machines that make chips, for instance, or for specialized chips for cars or industrial uses. They don't have the big chips that go into data centers or laptops or smartphones like the U.S. or Asia does. So that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to really spur this homegrown industry. But there's not a lot to start with. And the learning curve for developing these really tough technology that requires really expensive manufacturing facilities, it's really steep. And it's and 9 years, that's a short amount of time to try to, you know, become a bigger player in the global chip industry.
Right, 9 years till that 2030 goal they set for themselves. So why do they see this as such a big priority? What are the stakes for the EU?
One of the things that they realized was that Volkswagen, for instance, they had to furlough workers and idle factories because they couldn't get enough chips, and they had to get those chips from other parts of the world. So this is a really, really big deal for their economy. If some of their biggest industries can't operate because they're reliant on other regions, that's a huge problem for them. And that's been a story of their tech sector in general for the past several years.
Stu, is the EU the only government taking steps like this, or are we seeing similar action from others?
The EU is not alone, and that's going to make its attempt to catch up in the chip industry even tougher. One country that's poured a lot of resources into advancing its domestic chip industry is China. They set up these huge government funds, sometimes worth tens of billions of dollars, in an attempt to catch up with places like the U.S. and Taiwan. Now, the U.S., in response, the Congress recently passed its own legislation to sponsor projects to spur the U.S. chip industry, and each of these projects might be worth billions of dollars. They might get billions of dollars in U.S. taxpayer aid or financial incentives to build facilities in America to try to stay ahead of places like China. So that's going to be a really tough thing for Europe to do, is to, first of all, they're competing against two very well-funded regions in China and the U.S., plus they're starting from a smaller base.
And that's a couple of countries working to build up sort of technological independence. What does it mean that so many governments are focused on that? What kind of impact could that have?
Right now, we're talking about the potential decoupling of the tech sector. So there's been tariffs and export controls between the U.S. and China. Basically, for something like the chip industry is really important for a couple of reasons. One is military. The most advanced fighter jets and tanks and drones, they all require really sophisticated chips. Artificial intelligence requires sophisticated chips. So the wars of the future are going to be determined by semiconductors. On top of that, there is economic dependence. If you're an Apple or a Samsung, you need the most advanced chips to build, you know, your best laptops and smartphones. So we're talking hundreds of billions of dollars at stake here. If countries can't trade this technology with each other, we're going to see slower development of things, you know, like electronics. So we're talking billions of dollars at stake and possibly slower development if countries aren't willing to share technology with each other.
All right. That's our reporter, Stu Wu. Thanks, Stu.
Thank you.
That's it for today's Tech News Briefing. You can find more tech stories on our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.